Welcome to Bible Line, a ministry of Calvary Community Church. Our podcast is dedicated to the clear teaching of God's Word. We aim to help people find Jesus Christ and train believers through the study of the Bible. We would love to feature your questions on the show. You can email us at questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. If you'd like to support the show, you can go to calvaryoftampa.org/donate. Catch new episodes every Thursday. We pray today's episode is a blessing to you.
All right, welcome back to Bible Line. I'm your host, Pastor Jesse Martinez. And just a few things before we get started today. We are now adding a video version of all of our audio podcasts going forward. So if you're listening on audio, you can also check us out on YouTube. Just search Bible Line with Pastor Jesse Martinez, and you'll see our YouTube channel there. And there will be a copy of this podcast that you're listening to right now, and you'll be able to watch it. And those of you who are on our YouTube channel and you're seeing a video version of this, there's an audio version as well. You can search Bible Line with Pastor Jesse Martinez, and we're on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple, Google, all those different podcast streaming services, and you can find us there. So if you're on the audio side and you hear me refer to look here, look there, as you see here, things like that, you'll know that I'm talking about the new video version of our podcast going forward. We're really excited about this edition. I think it will really help people who like to see the Bible verses up on the screen, and it'll be helpful for you to see that I'm not just making these things up. This is what the Bible says. So today's question is a really good question, and it's been asked many times before, but the question we're going to answer is, what does the Bible mean when it says, unless ye have believed in vain? Now, the passage that states that up here on the screen here, you'll see in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 2, it says, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. So that's the passage we're going to address today. This comes from the resurrection chapter. 1 Corinthians 15 is full of information about the resurrection of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ is very, very important. Without it, we would have no place to stand. If Jesus did not come back from the dead, then he was not God as he claimed to be. He was not able to take on the sin of the world. He must have had sin for himself. He would have continued in corruption, but he did come back from the dead. And if a person's trusting in Jesus Christ and he has not raised from the dead, there's no hope there. So we're going to break down a couple of things in 1 Corinthians 15. We're also going to look in different places of Scripture that highlight and speak about the resurrection. And I believe it'll give you a good answer to the question, what does the Bible mean when it says, unless ye have believed in vain? So let's look here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verse 1 says this, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. So we know the point that is being addressed here. Paul is going to talk to them about the gospel. And he already says right in the next part of this verse, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. So we know we're talking to believers, people who have put their trust in the gospel. They have received it. Now, if you look in John chapter 1 and specifically verse 12, we have a great proof text here about that word received. What does it mean to receive the gospel? What does it mean to receive Christ? Unfortunately, this has been tied up in really bad terminology. Usually people say, receive Christ into your heart. And the Bible doesn't say that anywhere. Usually people say, we receive Christ by turning from our sin and living a better life. That's also not what it means to receive Christ. Look at what it says here in John chapter 1 in verse 12. I'm actually going to highlight this entire passage because it's very good. But as many received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So we have that new birth that is described by Jesus in John chapter 3, you must be born again. So if you receive him, Christ, and we know we're talking about Christ from different parts in John 1, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Look at the next part of this verse. Even to them that believe on his name. Whose name is that? Jesus Christ. So all of those who have believed on Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, have also received him. Believe and receive, those two things, they go together. It does not require a change of life, a change of action. It is biblical repentance, which means metanoia, which is to change your mind from what you were trusting in before to putting your trust in Jesus Christ. So when we see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verse 1, it says, which ye also have received. We know that Paul is talking to people that have understood the gospel and wherein ye stand. But I do not believe that every single person who was attending the church in Corinth was a believer. There were a lot of wicked things going on. No doubt after Paul left, they began to teach and they began to preach. And I think the reason why this is being brought up is because they were leaving out the resurrection. There were some who were saying the resurrection of the dead is not a thing. Well, if Christ is not risen, then you're not preaching the right gospel. We have to believe that Christ rose from the dead. And here's what it says here in 1 Corinthians 15:2. By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you. This does not mean you're saved if you remember it. He's calling back. You're saved. Remember what I told you about this, which I preached unto you, the gospel, which ye have received and wherein you stand? Unless ye have believed in vain. Now this would have to mean that somebody has not put their trust in Jesus Christ and the fact that he's come back from the dead. How is that important? It's not adding to the gospel. It's a part of the gospel message. And we see that here in 1 Corinthians 15:3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, verse 4, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. So let's look in different places in the Bible where it talks about the resurrection. The first place I want to look at here is John chapter 2 in verse 19. You'll see it up here on the computer screen. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. So we can go back to verse 19, and we can take this phrase, this temple, and change it with his body. And so we see what this verse is now saying. And Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this body, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now the Jews missed the point. They're thinking, well, this temple took 46 years, but he's talking about his body. Here, right in John chapter 2, Christ is making the prediction that he will have a destruction of his body, and that was done on the cross at Calvary, and that his body would come back from the dead, that he would rise again from the dead. So that's John chapter 2, verses 19 through 21. Now I want you to look in Acts chapter 1 in verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, and this is the section I want you to look at here, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So after Jesus Christ arose from the dead, he also appeared with many infallible proofs, Luke is saying here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he was seen for 40 days before he rose again. He did come back from the dead. The disciples were not leaving this part out. Look at what it says in Acts chapter 2 in verse 23. It says, him, speaking of Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye Jews, and we know we're talking about Jews because we see here in verse 22, ye men of Israel, but it says here, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, talking about Christ, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. So we have the proof right here that he has been raised up. Jesus has come back from the dead. Let's continue here on to verse 32 of Acts chapter 2. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Now, this is important. I really like this word, witnesses. What were the apostles witness to? That Christ was the Messiah, and that he did die for sins, and that he did rise again. That was the leading news of this day. And in fact, all of the Pharisees, Sadducees, and elders of the Jewish faith were trying to actively silence that message. They were paying the guards to say that the disciples stole away the body. In Judaism today, the leading theory about Christ was that he did not rise again, but his body was stolen. Why would that have to be attacked? Because, friend, if a person puts their trust in that death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, they receive the remission of sins. So if the devil can get a person to believe in a different kind of Jesus, then they're not saved. This is very important. Over 46% of evangelicals are not really sure of the resurrection. Isn't that amazing? I think that's amazing. Obviously, that's the work of the devil. So look here in Acts chapter 17 in verse 31, still speaking about the resurrection. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. This is talking about Jesus Christ. The world will be judged by him, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. So I want to explain this to you here. There's coming a day where all of the lost world will stand before God and be judged according to what have you done with Jesus Christ. There's only two options. You've accepted him or you've rejected him. And if they're at that great white throne judgment, they've rejected him. All of those who have put their trust in Christ, their sins are already paid. The judgment has already been done on Jesus Christ at Calvary. So it says here, there's coming a day in which in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. This has to be speaking of Jesus, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. The resurrection of Christ is an assurance that God was able to do what he said he was going to do. That Jesus back there in John chapter 2 said, I'm going to come back. And he did come back. So let's continue here and we'll look in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 10. And just a side note as we're getting there, this is a great chapter for your Jewish friends. For people who are Jewish and reject Jesus Christ as the Messiah, Isaiah 53 is an excellent proof on that. Maybe we'll have a video on that in the future. Isaiah 53, we're going to look at verses 10, 11, and 12. Here's what it says. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him, Jesus, to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. That's exactly what Christ was. His death on the cross was an offering for sin. His resurrection is proof that it was received, that it was good. He shall see his seed. He shall, and I want you to note this here, prolong his days. Jesus Christ dying on that cross, his days did not end there. They're prolonged in his resurrection. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Satisfied what? Look back here in verse 10. His soul was an offering for sin. The satisfaction that is being spoken of here in Isaiah 53:11 calls back to verse 10, the satisfaction for the sin of the world. That payment by Christ, satisfactory. It was met. Continue in verse 11. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Have you believed on Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of your sins? You are a part of that justify many here. I have believed on that. And because of that death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, because I put my faith in him, I'm justified. Look at the rest of this verse. For he shall bear their iniquities. Jesus took all of my sin upon himself. And he didn't just die. He came back. And I believe that. Because I'm believing on that one time, I'm saved. And so can you be as well. Therefore, verse 12, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his own soul, mark this here, unto death. Unto death. So Jesus died on the cross, but his days were prolonged because he came back, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. I'm going to highlight this too because this is great. He bore the sins of all the world. He made intercession for the transgressors. It wouldn't have mattered though if he stayed in the grave. It wouldn't have mattered if he did not come back like he said he was going to. So look here in Psalms chapter 16 in verse 10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thine Holy One here, I believe the Bible is teaching of Jesus Christ. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at the right hand there are pleasures evermore. Jesus was not going to see corruption. Listen, when a lost soul dies, it goes to the heart of the earth in Sheol, and it stays there until it's going to be brought back at the judgment, the great white throne judgment, and then they will be experiencing the second death, which is separation from God and forever in the place called hell. That's corruption. That's not eternal life. Jesus went down into the heart of the earth not to go to hell, but to lead captivity captive. All of those Old Testament saints were looking towards the coming Messiah, And when they died, they also went to paradise. And when Jesus went down into the heart of the earth, he wasn't going to stay there like they were. He was going to take captivity captive. When he rose again from the dead, those Old Testament saints rose again from the dead, and they got their new bodies, and at the ascension, they all went up. This is a great truth and a great teaching. Leave the resurrection out, you don't have a savior. You have a man who claimed to do something he was not able to do. So we're going to wrap this up here. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verse 2, getting back to where we started. By which ye are also saved. What does that mean? If you believe Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and we looked in the scriptures where that is. So how can a person believe in vain? They deny the resurrection. Yeah, I believe Jesus died for my sins, but he didn't come back. Friend, if that would be like me claiming to be able to pay for your sin, and I just die, and I don't come back from the dead. I don't have that power. Jesus was born of a virgin. He had no sin nature. He was sinless. He took on sin for you and me. His resurrection proves that that claim is accurate. Look in the later part of this chapter in 1 Corinthians 15, 16, and this is where we'll end. For if the dead rise not, then Christ is not raised. Look what it says there in verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ not be risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses. You remember in Acts 17, 31, it says, we are witnesses that Jesus has been raised up. They would have been fakers, false, liars, deceivers, if there is no resurrection of the dead, if there is no resurrection of Christ. So continue here in verse 17, very sad verses. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ah, so now when we see here in 1 Corinthians 15, 2, it says, unless you have believed in vain, Paul's saying, if you have not believed on the resurrection of Christ, that he rose from the dead, your faith is in vain. And many of these Corinthian believers had believed that. But because they were very immature, they're very young, they're very prideful, you read 1 Corinthians, it's a mess. They had a lot of problems, a lot of problems. They were getting away from the truth, and they're teaching this modified gospel to others. And it's not leading to salvation. Verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And we know from 1 Thessalonians 4 that we have a comfort, knowing that all of those who have died in Christ are going to come back because they believed on him. If in this life we only have a hope in Christ, and that's a dead Christ, Jesus dead, who has not risen back, we are of all men most miserable. Why? Because we're believing in something that cannot save. I might as well believe on the best person that I know. I would just, you know, for sake of the illustration, I'll just say my mother, who's passed away. I might as well believe on her to save me if Christ has not come back from the dead. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. And that's where we're going to close, because it's very important to notice. By man, Adam, came sin into the world. Jesus, who was fully God and fully man, his resurrection brought back the resurrection of the dead. He, because he rose again, is able to promise to all of those who believe on him, you're coming back too. So I know when I die that that's not the end of Jesse Martinez. It's the end of Jesse Martinez on this earth in this body. It's the end of my sin nature. But I have a new birth that lives on forever because I have believed on verses 3 and 4. I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day is according to the scriptures. If I reject the resurrection, believing in vain, I believed in vain. Now, I can reject the resurrection now, but I'm already saved, because the moment I did believe, I'm passed from death unto life, I'll never be brought into condemnation again. Also, note this here in verse 6, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. So we're not talking about someone that, you know, just appeared to the exclusive 12 disciples. 500 at once. And you remember in Acts 1:3 that he was seen of 40 days by many infallible proofs. And at the time of this writing, the scripture says, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And that doesn't mean they're taking a little siesta. It means that they had died. But I hope this encourages you. I hope it answers the question, what does the Bible mean when it says, unless you have believed in vain? Come back next Thursday as we are going to have another video for you. Thank you. God bless. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. As a thank you to our listeners, we want to give away a free Bible every month this year. To enter, send us an email with your Bible question. Our email address is questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. Be sure to subscribe to the show and check back each Thursday for new episodes. Until next time, keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon.